Okay, so anyway, enough of that stuff. Let's get to it. We're on page 11 or page 12 in your case, I guess. And we're down to point number 4. Donald Trump is an unrepentant sinner. Look at Romans chapter 2, 4 through 5. Just in case you didn't know, to be an unrepentant sinner is bad. Romans 2, 4 through 5, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." So God is treasuring up wrath, and people that are impenitent, that are not repentant, are treasuring up wrath unto themselves. And this is precisely what our president is. And this is out of his own words. I'm going to read this to you. Donald Trump has said that he has never asked God for forgiveness. Now, this is a man that claims to be a Christian. We saw that. I think that was in the last study we saw that. This was in an interview that when Donald Trump was interviewed by Frank Luntz at the Family Leadership Summit. This was in July 18th, 2015. Right at the very beginning when he first threw in his hat in the presidential race. Frank Luntz, he says, "Have you ever asked God for forgiveness?" Donald Trump, "That's a tough question." And the crowd laughs. "I don't think in terms like that. I'm a religious person. Shockingly, these people are so shocked when they find this out. I'm Protestant, I'm Presbyterian, and I go to church, and I love God, and I love my church." And then he rambles on about his other pastor for a while. Then Frank Luntz comes back to the question again, because Trump never answered the question. "But have you ever asked God for forgiveness?" And the crowd laughs. Donald Trump, "I'm not sure I have. I just go on and try to do a better job from there. I don't think so. If I do something wrong, I think I just try and make it right. I don't bring God into that picture." "Now, when I take, you know, when we go to church and when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker," he's talking about communion, "I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness. I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed." Okay, so that's his answer. When he goes and eats his cracker and drinks his wine, that's asking for forgiveness, except you're not asking for forgiveness when you do that. Right? So yeah, out of his own mouth, he has not asked for forgiveness. Now, somebody might say, well, he just messed up, and he just said something he didn't really mean, and we all do that, and, you know, that's not what he really thinks. Okay, so let's see if that's the case. So later on, this was in, this was in January of 2016, so this is about 5-6 months later. Trump is on Fox or CNN being interviewed by Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper asks him about this interview with Frank Luntz, this very thing. Jake Tapper says, "One of the potential attack lines has to do with an answer you gave to Frank Luntz months ago when you said that you've never asked God for forgiveness. Do you regret making that remark?" Donald Trump, "No, I have a great relationship with God. I have great relationship with evangelicals. In fact, nationwide, I'm up by a lot. I'm leading everybody. But I like to be good. I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. And I am good." That should remind you of a scripture we'll get to in a minute. "And I am good," Mr. Trump says. "I don't do a lot of things that are bad. I try and do nothing that is bad. I live a very different life than probably a lot of people would think. And I have a very great relationship with God, and I have a very great relationship with evangelicals." That was in, you can see that on YouTube. Trump has a great relationship with God. Like I said, if I don't, I might not give you all the, I'm not going to necessarily read the name of the article and the video and all that. It's all in the outline. So if you want to see proof of this, get the outline. It's all there. It's all hyperlinked. Of course, we know Romans 3:12 tells us that there is none that doeth good. But Mr. Trump says that he is a good person. And Jesus said to the rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler said, "Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why call me thou good? There is none good but one, that is God." So God is the only one good. Obviously, man is not. Okay, now here's one that'll... I'm not going to read these words, but this one will probably irritate you somewhat. Trump has a filthy mouth. Now look at Romans 3 and verse 12. Romans 3 and verse 12, or 14, pardon me. Romans 3, 14. This is a description of the natural man, of sinners in their natural state. It says, "Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, Now, it's one thing to utter a curse word once in a while, and that's not necessarily sinful depending on the context. If you're cursing men, yes, but if you're cursing an inanimate object, no. Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? So that's not necessarily wrong. But whenever you are characterized by cursing and foul language and just language that decent people don't use in public when addressing crowds and things like that, right? That says something about your character. And furthermore, when you curse men, that's not good either. We're not supposed to do that. Told in James 3, 9 through 10, that we ought not to be doing that. And I'll give you an example of Mr. Trump doing that. James 3, 9 through 10 said, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." He's talking about with our tongues. "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." I'm just going to go through a list of things here that President Trump has said, many of which when he was campaigning. And like I said, every single one of these that I'm going to read you here are on YouTube. So you can actually see and hear him saying these things himself. I'm not going to give you the names of the videos. You can get those in the outline. Okay, so here we go. "The Democrats have to now decide whether they will continue defrauding the public with this ridiculous bull SHIT. But it's political bull SHIT. My tax proposals cut the HELL out of taxes. You bet your ASS I'd approve him. They're ripping the SHIT out of the sea." These are in his campaigns, right? I mean, he's doing this in front of thousands of people on TV, in front of millions of people and kids and everything else. "We're going to knock the SHIT out of ISIS. We're going to knock the SHIT out of them. I would bomb the SHIT out of them. We'll beat the SHIT out of them. Whoever the HELL brought this mic system, the son of a bitch that put it in, I'll tell you." His mic wasn't working for him very well. "It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd." He's on CNN. He is a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell ya." And the audience cheers. "He said she's a pussy. I can tell them to go," and then he mouths fuck themselves. "I can tell you to go fuck themselves." And you can see the words don't come out of his mouth, but he mouths it so clearly. Bill O'Reilly on the O'Reilly Factor called him out for it. And he's like, "I've never seen a candidate say the F word." "Oh, I didn't say it." He's like, "Well, you mouth it, you could tell." And so anyway, of course, Trump didn't deny that at all. Oh, let's see here. Where was I? "You're not going to raise that fucking price. You understand me? Listen, you mother fuckers. I think that was at the CPAC convention when he was kind of testing the waters of throwing in his bid for the presidency. "I said, you know," we've heard this one already, "I said, you know, you don't like me and I don't like you. I've never liked you. You never like me, but you're going to support me because you're a rich guy. And if you don't support me, you're going to be so G-O-D, D-A-M-N poor, you're not going to believe it." And the audience cheers. And then he said, "They'll be hit so G-O-D, D-A-M-N hard," referring to ISIS. So there you go, kind of getting progressively worse as we get on the line until he uses the Lord's name in vain, contrary to what Mr. Yeep thinks. Now, many Christians, they support, defend, they apologize for Donald Trump, and yet if I would have actually read, and I made this point last time, if I would have, instead of spelled those out, if I would have said those words in this Bible study, they would have condemned me to seven hells just for quoting the president saying those words. But yet they'll defend him, they'll support him, they'll apologize for him and say, "Oh, nobody's perfect," or whatever. Now, like I said, I realize that using some of these words is not necessarily sinful in certain contexts. But think about this. If Donald Trump speaks like this regularly in public, what must he speak like in private, right? What must he talk like whenever he's, you know, among his friends or by himself or whatever? What would Trump supporters say if Barack Obama spoke like that in public? Right? They would piously condemn him, right? It'd be righteous indignation. It would just be a travesty. But there's crickets whenever President Trump does it. They rather make excuses for him or just ignore it. They treat them. And they do. You're right. Yeah, they don't just make excuses for it. They do cheer him. Even when he uses the Lord's name in vain, they cheered him on that one. They're hypocrites. Now, this is not going to come to a surprise as a surprise to anybody, but Donald Trump is a proud, arrogant, egotistical man. And pride, of course, is a wicked sin that God hates. We're told in Proverbs 6:16 through 17 that the Lord hates seven things. And the very first thing that he lists off here in Proverbs chapter 6 is a proud look. Proverbs 6 and verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." Okay, there's three strikes. President Trump is out. I'm going to show you he's a liar. We're going to look at his pride right now, and I've already showed you that he sheds innocent blood by the thousands overseas. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." This is wisdom. This is God personified as wisdom here, saying that he hates pride. And one more, Proverbs 16 and verse 5. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." And that's what's going to happen to our president, I believe. If the word of God is true, and it is, he's going to answer to God for his pride. "Pride is a high or overweening opinion of one's own qualities, attainments, or estate, which gives rise to a feeling and attitude of superiority over and contempt for others, inordinate self-esteem." And as we will see, this definition fits Donald Trump perfectly. I don't think there's another man that I could think of that would fit this definition better than our president. He is possibly the most boastful, proud man the world has ever seen. Now, maybe there's other ones. Maybe there's worse ones. I don't know. But I can't really think of one. And see, the most proud people are at least wise enough to not just outrightly show how proud they are. They try to couch it in humble sounding language or whatever. Not President Trump. He doesn't try to hide it at all. Thank you, Wayne, for telling me about this. President Trump said to a crowd of supporters just last week, I think it was last week, on the 21st of August, 2019, he said to a crowd of reporters, "I am the chosen one," as he looked up to heaven. I don't know if you've seen the video or not. You can see it. It is right here, linked. He literally turns, looks up to the heavens, and says, "I am the chosen one." I kid you not. I kid you not. Here's the quote. You can look it up right there on YouTube. I got it in the outline. He says, "Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion, $500 billion, ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look at intellectual property theft, add that to it, and add a lot of other things to it, somebody had to do it." And then he turns, he looks up to heaven and says, "I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it, so I'm taking on China." So the Lord from heaven has commissioned President Trump to take on China. He is the chosen one. Wow. I mean, it'd be one thing if he said it in different language, the chosen one. I mean, think about that. He's claiming to be the Messiah, basically. And he looked up to heaven. Like, he's not the chosen one by the American people or something. He literally looked up to heaven and said, "I am the chosen one."
Funny thing, I struck my
life. Oh, my. I'll tell you what. He's lucky he didn't, Because exactly. When King Herod made some proclamation like he was a god, or the people said it's a voice of a god, not a man, and God killed him and he was eaten up of worms. This is blasphemy. But listen to this. This is the same day, August 21st, 2019, Trump quotes a guy named Wayne Allen Root on Twitter saying that Trump is loved by Jews in Israel, quote, like he's the king of Israel, and quote, like he's the second coming of God. And here is his quote on Twitter. I kid you not, this is crazy. This is crazy. Here's what Trump says. "Thank you to Wayne Allen Root for the very nice words." And then here he's quoting Wayne Allen Root. "President Trump is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world, not just America. He is the best president for Israel in the history of the world. And the Jewish people in Israel love him like he's the king of Israel, That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I hate to tell you, he is the King of Israel, right? King of the Jews. They love him like he is the second coming of God. But American Jews don't know him or like him. They don't even know what they're doing or saying anymore. It makes no sense. But that's okay. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's good for all Jews, blacks, gays, everyone. And importantly, he's good for everyone in America who wants a job. To which Trump says, "Wow," with an exclamation point. He didn't say, "Don't you dare call me that. That is blasphemy." He says, "Wow." He thanks the man for it. Trump is the King of Israel. He's like the King of Israel. He's like the second coming of God. He is the chosen one. I know. Unbelievable. This is blasphemy. He obviously agrees with Root that he is the king. He's like the King of Israel in the second coming of God. Clearly.
The Jews don't really believe that the Lord Jesus is the King of Israel, right?
They don't believe it, no.
Yes.
But Jesus is the King of Israel, yes. Right? He's the King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. And so it's clearly a messianic reference. Mm-hmm. And they do believe the coming Messiah. They don't believe that Jesus is the coming Messiah, but they believe the coming Messiah will be the King of Israel. It will be the second coming of God. Mm-hmm. So he's saying that they love him like he's the Messiah. Here's just a sampling of things that President Trump has said to demonstrate his pride. This was, where was this taken from? Well, this is on Twitter. Okay, so no arguing with this. This is what he actually wrote himself. And all these Twitter quotes, you can go right on Twitter. I mean, you can click on the link and it'll show you his Twitter feed right there. This is what Trump said about himself. This was January 6, 2018. So this is while he's president. He's been president for about a year by this point. "Actually, throughout my life, my two greatest assets have been mental stability and being, like, really smart." Okay, anybody that says, "I'm, like, really smart," is not really smart. And this was on Twitter. This was not something that he said, and, you know, because sometimes you say things and it doesn't really come out the way you want it. He actually wrote that intentionally and kept it under 100 and... how many ever characters? Like, you know, I mean, when you write something on Twitter, you probably write it and reread it and fix it and make sure it'll fit just perfectly. Yeah, I being like really smart. "Crooked Hillary Clinton also played these cards very hard, and everyone knows went down in flames. I went from very successful businessman to top TV star to president of the United States on my first try. I think that would qualify as not smart, but genius." Oh. And a very stable genius at that. I mean, this guy. It's in one way, it's not funny at all because it's pure pride. But in the other way, just the absurdity of listening to him say this is humorous just from the absurdity of it.
The like really smart gets me.
The like really smart, yes. Okay, so I'm just going to read you a whole bunch of quotes here. These are all from YouTube, so you can watch and hear him saying these out of his own mouth. "Nobody knows the system better than me. Nobody knows politicians better than I do. There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am. I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me." Number one, it should be nobody loves it better than I anyway, Mr. Smart Guy. But anyway, "Nobody loves the Bible more than I do." Nobody. I mean, not the famous commentators, not the Apostle Paul, right? Not Jesus. Nobody loves the Bible more than Donald Trump does. Nobody. Isn't that something? The guy that, you know, takes a sip of wine and eats crackers, right, and gets forgiveness. Nobody loves the Bible more than Donald Trump. That's never asked for forgiveness. You know, like what the Bible says, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Nobody loves the Bible more than Donald Trump. I could go on for an hour about that. "There's nobody that respects women more than I do." Wow. "Nobody builds walls better than me. Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump." Nobody in the history of the country has known more about infrastructure than Donald Trump. That's unbelievable. That is unbelievable. "Nobody knows debt better than me."
He might be right on that. He's gone bankrupt 3 times.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he could be right on that one. "Nobody even understands it but me. Nobody can do it like me. Which is why I alone can fix it. I have Ivy League education. Smart guy. I know words. I have the best words." If you know words and have the best words, you would not utter a statement that said, I know words, I have the best words.
Yeah.
That is about the dumbest thing that you could possibly say. I know words, I have the best words. I mean, like, I'm a smart person. I'm good at war. I've had a lot of wars of my own. I'm really good at war. It's a rigged system. I think I've done a great service pointing this out. I was the one that really broke the glass ceiling on behalf of women. I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history. I think we've done more in 2.5 years than any president ever.
More bombings.
Yeah, more bombings, more killing. Yeah, yeah, that's probably about that. That is true. I promise, 2024, I leave. By that time, just so you know, by that time, our country will be so well seated, it will be so strong like never, ever in our history. This is speaking before the United Nations General Assembly, and they laughed at him when he said this. And it wasn't laughing at him like he said a joke, it was laughing at the absurdity of what he said. And then he had to kind of pause and try to recover himself. He says, in less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. And they laugh.
Where are you?
I am, yep. Now I'm on Roman numeral
24.
There you go. I still have trouble reading those things. I'm not a smart guy. You know, so. Anyway. Mr. Trump says, I had an uncle who was a great professor at MIT for 35 years. Is Donald Trump an intellectual? Trust me, I'm like a smart person. Wow. You ever notice they always call the other side, and they do this on purpose, the elite, the elite. Why are they elite? I have a much better apartment than they do. I'm smarter than they are. I'm richer than they are. I became president and they didn't. And I'm representing the greatest, smartest, most loyal, best people on earth. The deplorables. Remember that? They said, well, he's probably not as rich as people think. But then it turned out I was much richer. I'm really rich. Well, China is wonderful for China, but I'm wonderful for the USA. He just said that here last week. Now, President Trump is headed for destruction. Remember what it says in Proverbs 16:18? Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. That is pride if I've ever heard it. That man is so proud, it's unreal. Proverbs 18 and verse 12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Okay, next point about our president. Is he is a liar? And I know that sounds harsh to say that, but I'm going to prove it to you. Since Mr. Trump loves the Bible more than anyone else in human history, he probably has read this verse, I don't know, at least I'd say 1,000 times if he loves it so much. So I'm not sure why he isn't keeping it. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, President Trump made some statements, some promises of what he was going to do, and he flat out lied about it and did not do it. He did not speak truth with his neighbor. He repeatedly said that if he were president, Hillary Clinton would be in jail. During one of the debates, Trump said that if he was elected, he would create a special prosecutor to look into Hillary Clinton's email scandal, and she would be in jail. Now, that she would be in jail part, of course, he shouldn't be able to do that, right? But he could have appointed a special prosecutor, right? He could have done that, but he didn't. Here, let me show you. So here's a quote. This is from, this is in the debate, and you can see this on YouTube. I got the quote there. He's speaking to Hillary Clinton, looking right at her. If I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it, and we're going to have a special prosecutor. And then Trump said again, the same debate. After getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails, and then you acid wash them or bleach them, as you would say. Very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor. This is the second time he said it. And we're going to look into it because, you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing 1/5 of what you have done. It's a disgrace, and honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And Clinton, of course, denies everything. And then she says, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country. And Trump retorts, because you'd be in jail. Now, he also said during a rally in 2016 the following. He said she gets a subpoena, and after that, not before, that would be bad, but after getting the subpoena to give over your emails and lots of other things, she deleted the emails. She has to go to jail. Now, after being elected, he reneged on his promise, and he said the following when he was interviewed on 60 Minutes. Here's the interviewer. This is just only months later. Right? He said those quotes there in the debate in October of 2016, and then in, let's see, when was it? November. So a month later, he's interviewed on 60 Minutes. The interviewer says, "Are you going to ask for a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton over her emails? And are you, as you had said to her face, going to try to put her in jail?" Here's what Trump says. "Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to think about it. I feel that I want to focus on jobs. I want to focus on health care. I want to focus on the border and immigration and do a really great immigration bill. We want to have a great immigration bill. We want to focus on all the other things that we've been talking about and get the country straightened away." The interviewer then asks again, "You called her Crooked Hillary and you wanted to get her in jail. Your people and your audiences kept saying, lock them up." Mr. Trump responds, "Yeah, she did some bad things. I mean, she did some bad things." The interviewer says, "I know, but that special prosecutor?" Trump says, "And listen to this. I don't want to hurt them," referring to Bill and Hillary Clinton. "I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to hurt them. They're good people. They're good people," he says. "I don't want to hurt them," he repeats a third time. "And I will give you a very, very good and definitive answer the next time we do 60 Minutes together." Well, of course, he never hired a special prosecutor. He called her all kinds of horrible names. Crooked Hillary, said she's a liar, and all this stuff. You know, she did horrible things that people's lives have been ruined for, that are doing way less than she has. Terrible person. He called Bill Clinton a rapist, right? He said Bill Clinton was a horrible man. He sexually abused women. I got a quote here for you. All these things. And then he says, right after he gets elected, "They're good people." Let me read you what he said about them, and then see what a hypocrite this man is. Bill and Hillary Clinton are some of the most corrupt people on the face of the earth, and Trump knows it. He condemned Bill Clinton for sexually abusing women and Hillary for trying to cover it up only a month before calling them good people. Okay, here's what he said. "Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women and attacked them viciously. Four of them are here tonight." He said this right in the debate, right in front of everybody, a month earlier. "One of the women, who is a wonderful woman, at 12 years old was raped at 12. He points at Hillary Clinton then. And he says, "Her client, she represented, got him off, and she's seen laughing on two separate occasions, laughing at the girl who was raped." Hillary Clinton was the attorney that got the rapist off and then laughed about it, who raped a 12-year-old girl. And then he says on Twitter, 10/9/2016, same night as the debate. He says, "There's never been anyone more abusive to women in politics than Bill Clinton. My words were unfortunate. The Clintons' actions were far worse." And then he calls him somebody that's, "We've never had anyone more abusive to women in politics than Bill Clinton." And then he says, "They are good people." Unbelievable. They're good people. He's calling good evil. Remember Isaiah 5:20? "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." President Trump never kept his word. He never hired a special prosecutor to investigate Hillary Clinton. He is a liar. The next thing. President Trump is, or at least was, friends with desperately wicked men. We're told in Proverbs 13:20 that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He was friends with the convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, the guy that was just murdered or supposedly committed suicide here last month. Trump is seen here on a video partying with Jeffrey Epstein in 1992 at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. You can click on the link. You can see the video yourself. The two of them, way back in 1992, are partying together. Trump is pointing at women and saying things to Epstein. Epstein's laughing, and they're gawking and gooing and gawing or whatever over all these underage women that they're looking at. Trump and his then-girlfriend Melania, who's now his wife, also posed with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. That's Epstein's partner in crime. They posed together at Trump's Mar-a-Lago again in January 12, 2000. And right there, I put the picture in there for you. Right there is Epstein and Trump together. They were buddies, right? And Epstein was running a child prostitution ring and all kinds of horrible things. And Trump and him were buddies. Now you think, well, maybe they just, you know, saw each other at parties, but Trump really didn't like him. Well, here's what President Trump had to say in 2002 to the New York Magazine about Epstein. He says, "I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He's a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. No doubt about it, Jeffrey enjoys his social life." So that's not instilling much confidence in our president and me when he's friends with a horrible, wicked, reprehensible man like Jeffrey Epstein. That doesn't mean that Trump was doing what Epstein was doing, although there have been allegations that he was, but still.
He didn't do anything to stop it.
No.
He was at that island.
Was he? I don't know if they've proven that or not, but.
Well, maybe they haven't proven it.
I don't know if they've proven he was there. Clinton was allegedly on the plane, you know, plane logs of Clinton, Bill Clinton being on that island numerous times. I don't know if they've ever proven that Trump was. Okay. So, but there have been other allegations, and you can read about them yourself. I didn't include them in here because it's not proven, at least at this point. It's their allegations, so I don't know if they're true or not. Trump doesn't have control of his tongue. Let me read you a verse in Ecclesiastes. I don't think this comes to anybody as a surprise to anybody. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 11 through 14. Yeah, I am trying to be careful in this study and only say things that are provable because I don't want people to say that I'm slandering the president. Ecclesiastes 10, 11 through 14 says, "Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell it?" So a fool is full of words. And I'm going to show you that President Trump is full of words. Everybody's well aware of his Twitter fascination. Here's a quote from a magazine, online thing called Bustle.com. "How many times has Trump tweeted as president? Twitter is his best friend." This is from 2018. So this is a year after he was inaugurated. It says, "From the morning of his inauguration through its one-year anniversary, Trump has sent out a whopping 2,568 tweets. That amounts to just a bit more than 7 tweets per day." You'd think that the president of the United States would have a little bit more dignity than to be going to Twitter 7 times a day talking about all kinds of things that he probably shouldn't be. Here's another quote. This is from another article. Let me see where that was from. This one's from, oh, this is from Wikipedia. So this is just taken here the other day. "Donald Trump's use of social media has attracted worldwide attention. He frequently uses Twitter and other social media platforms to make comments about other politicians, celebrities, and daily news. From his official declaration of candidacy in June 2015 through the first 2.5 years of his presidency, he tweeted over 17,000 times. Since early in his presidency, his tweets have been considered official statements by the President of the United States. He often posts controversial or false statements, and his advisors have warned him that his tweets may alienate some of his supporters. I doubt it. He could stand on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and he wouldn't lose any voters, as he himself said. In a June 2017 Fox News poll, 70% of respondents said Trump's tweets were hurting his agenda. In a January 2019 U.S. Mass Lowell poll, 68% of respondents aged 18 to 37 said Trump tweets too much." And this is coming from millennials, like the most worthless generation except for the one coming up after them, right? My own generation. Even the idiots in my generation think that he's tweeting too much. 17,000 tweets in the 4 years since announcing his candidacy for president in June 2015 means that Donald Trump has sent over 11 tweets per day on average. That's a lot of tweeting. A wise man, on the other hand, spares his words. Proverbs 17:27-28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is wise, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. But on the other hand, whereas a wise man holds it in, the fool doesn't. He utters all of his mind. As soon as he thinks of something and he's mad about something, he's going to tell you about it. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And then, of course, Donald Trump, as we saw earlier, encourages the ungodly and unwise practice of taking on debt. Of course, we all know these verses, Proverbs 22:7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender, and Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. But apparently, you know, with Trump's voluminous reading, often reading of the Bible, since he loves it more than any other living human being on earth, he must have missed these verses too. He says, this is quoting him from a Politico article, he says that, I'm the king of debt. He says, I'm the king of debt. I'm great with debt. Nobody knows debt better than me, Trump told Nora O'Donnell in an interview that aired on CBS this morning. I've made a fortune by using debt, and if things don't work out, I renegotiate the debt. I mean, that's a smart thing, not a stupid thing. How do you renegotiate the debt? O'Donnell followed up. You go back and say, hey, guess what? The economy crashed, Trump replied. I'm going to give you back half. Going through bankruptcy proceedings and basically not paying people what you promised to pay them. And then here's one. This is, you can see him saying it out of his own mouth here on YouTube. Trump says, I'm the king of debt. I understand debt better than probably anybody. I know how to deal with debt very well. I love debt. But you know, debt is tricky and it's dangerous and you have to be careful and you have to know what you're doing. And this makes perfect sense because he's running up the debt $1 trillion a year. We are going further in debt every single year, $1 trillion, as I showed you last time. And then Trump is not pro-life in practice. Right now, he has done some pro-life things, but he's not really the wonderful pro-life president that everybody makes him out to be. And I'll show you this. So the Alabama legislature passed very strict laws outlawing abortion in nearly every circumstance except for rape and incest. Or, I'm sorry, including rape and incest. The strongest abortion laws in the country. And what they're trying to do is get the laws to be challenged to go to the Supreme Court, to have the Supreme Court rule in favor of them and virtually outlaw abortion in the country. They're trying to go about it in that way, okay? There's actually an easier way to do it, which Trump and the Republicans could have already done, which I'll talk about in a minute. But anyway, so instead of supporting that law and truly opposing the murder of innocent children, President Trump insinuated that the Alabama bill went too far. This is from an article in the New York Post called Trump and Romney Say Alabama Abortion Law Went Too Far. This is from May 19th, 2019, just a few months ago. Quote, President Trump and GOP Senator Mitt Romney say they favor exceptions to strict abortion bans recently passed by several states in an effort to get the Supreme Court to overturn the landmark case of Roe v. Wade. Quote, as most people know, and for those who would like to know, I'm strongly pro-life with the three exceptions, rape, incest, and protecting the life of the mother, the same position taken by Ronald Reagan, Trump wrote on Twitter late Saturday. But he encouraged Republicans to remain united on the controversial issue. Quote, if we are foolish and do not stay united as one, all of our hard-fought gains for life can and will rapidly disappear, he wrote. Romney said he doesn't support Alabama's abortion law, the country's strictest, that forbids abortions in nearly all cases, including rape and incest. Quote, I believe that there ought to be exceptions. I'm pro-life, but there ought to be exceptions for rape and incest and where the life of the mother is at risk, the Utah Republican said on CNN's State of the Union. So basically what Trump is saying is we need to be united. In other words, don't take these extreme measures. You know, we need to stay united on this. And I mean, the whole rape and incest thing, number one, that is such a small number of abortions anyway. But number two, just because a woman got raped or because it was incest, does that mean that you murder the child? Do two wrongs make a right? I've seen people being interviewed that were the product of rape that thank God that their mother didn't murder them in the womb because they're here today. Two wrongs don't make a right. A truly pro-life president would oppose the murdering of unborn children under any circumstance. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And when it's quoted in Matthew 1:23, it's quoted as a virgin shall be with child. Right? So when you conceive, you are with child. So at the moment of conception, the baby there is a child. And of course, Jesus said in Matthew 19:18, thou shalt do no murder. So whenever you terminate a pregnancy, abortion, which is the euphemism, that is murdering an unborn child. See, if President Trump and the Republicans really wanted to end abortion, they would pass Ron Paul's Sanctity of Life Act, which would immediately overturn Roe v. Wade by defining legal personhood as beginning at conception. You can read about that in a Wikipedia article called the Sanctity of Life Act, but they talk about that act. Ron Paul introduced that act 4 years in a row, beginning in 2005, and it was never even brought up for a vote, and it died in subcommittee. Here was a time when Republicans were in control. President Bush was in control. Ron Paul introduces this bill, and 4 years in a row, it dies in subcommittee. They would not bring it up for a vote. It would have defined legal personhood at conception, and that's what Roe v. Wade said. The judges said it would all depend on when the fetus is considered a person. And they said if life was defined at conception, then they would have to rule differently. So if it was considered a person at conception, this bill would have defined life at conception, and they wouldn't even bring it up for a vote. Republicans, and I mean Republican politicians, not your average Joe Republican person, but Republican politicians do not care about abortion, I don't think. If they really cared about it, they would have passed that bill. They had four opportunities, and it was introduced before Ron Paul introduced it. It was introduced way back, was it in the 80s or 90s, I forget. You can read about it in that Wikipedia article. It had been introduced before as well. They don't care about it. As a matter of fact, they want it to be the hot button issue that they can bring up every 4 years and say how we're going to work to end it, and of course never end it, and then every year, every 4 years, they get all these people that believe them to vote for them again. President Trump and the Republican representatives and senators are hypocrites when it comes to abortion and many other things for that matter. Okay, so big thing for Christians and conservatives, right? Abortion and gay marriage. Like, these are the two big things. Well, Trump's not very good on abortion, and he's absolutely horrible on gay marriage and LGBT and all this kind of stuff. You see the picture in your outline right there? He's holding up a flag, an LGBT flag. You can't see it. It's in black and white. Well, you have color. It's in color in the outline. Oh, you got color too. It's the rainbow flag. And it says LGBTs for Trump. And he's hanging it up. You can see him on video. I've got a clip there of him on video touting it. He's showing it off. He's happy. The LGBTs are supporting him. He supports the sodomites. Let's see what the Bible that Trump loves more than any other human being in the history of man. Let's see what the Bible says about this. Romans 1:26-27. Nobody loves the Bible more than me, Trump says. He should read this passage. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their men or their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use for the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Right? This is unseemly, it's vile affections, it's wickedness, right? But God not only despises people that do that, God despises people that have pleasure in them that do that, people that support them that do that. Because verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So these wicked people, they don't only do it, but they have pleasure in them that do it. And this is exactly what our president does, and I will show it to you here. Let me just show you a couple of more verses. Look back at Leviticus 18:22. Leviticus 18:22. Let me show you what God thinks about sodomy. His opinions haven't changed. We just read there in Romans chapter 1, Old to New Testament, his opinions are the same. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. An abomination is a combined feeling of disgust and hatred. And then Leviticus 20 and verse 13 says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. God says they're worthy of death. Donald Trump says, I will make sure and protect you from people who want to put you to death. That's what he says, and I will read it to you. Here's what President Trump says about his support for sodomites and transgenders. This is a video on YouTube. You can click the link and watch him say it yourself. He says, the LGBT community, the gay community, the lesbian community, they are so much in favor of what I have been saying over the last 3 or 4 days. They love them. Wonder why. Trump says in the same time, I am far better for women, I am far better for gays. And the crowd cheers. Right? This is your president. This is your conservative president, right? He loves the sodomites. Here he's referring to transgender bathrooms. They were interviewing him about this. He says, you leave it the way it is. There have been very, very few complaints the way it is. People go, they use the bathroom that they feel is appropriate. And he didn't mean the way it was before they changed it. He means the way it is now. Whatever bathroom you want to use, if you're a man, you want to use a woman's bathroom, vice versa, just do whatever you want. Interviewer asks him, so Caitlyn Jenner, that's Bruce Jenner, right, the freak that's turned himself into a woman, tried to. So if Caitlyn Jenner were to walk into Trump Tower and want to use the bathroom, you would be fine with her using any bathroom she chooses. Candidate Trump says, that is correct. While speaking at the Republican National Convention, candidate Trump said this. This is at the convention. This is when he's won the nomination. As your president, I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens from the violence and oppression of a hateful foreign ideology, protecting them from other foreign countries that put them to death and punish them. Here President Trump is interviewed, and the interviewer says, one of the groups that's expressing fear are the LGBTQ group. President Trump says, and did I mention them at the Republican National Convention? Interviewer says, you did. President Trump, or this would have been candidate Trump at that point. And everybody said, that was so great. I have been a supporter of the LGBTQ freaks. He's a supporter. He likes them. Here's another quote. You can hear him say it yourself right on YouTube. Ask yourself, who is really the friend of women in the LGBT community? Donald Trump with actions or Hillary Clinton with her words? I will tell you who the better friend is, and someday I believe that will be proven out bigly.
There's our smart president.
Yes, he's like a smart person. Really he's smart. He's got the best words. Nobody has better words than him. Yep, he's the best when it comes to the LGBT freaks. Here's another one on YouTube. The radical, this is President Trump's own words, the radical Islamic terrorist targeted the nightclub. That's the one in Florida where they went into that sodomite nightclub and shot it up. Not only because he wanted to kill Americans, but in order to execute gay and lesbian citizens because of their sexual orientation. Listen to this. It's a strike at the heart and soul of who we are as a nation. Who we are as a nation, the heart and soul of who we are these LGBT sodomite wicked freaks that God hates. Wow. And then here's another one. A friend of mine called up. He said, you know, you don't get enough credit because in Palm Beach you opened up a club that nobody would do. Nobody would do. And it's open to everybody. It's open to everybody. And a person, a member of the club, a great guy, who is gay, wrote this magnificent letter saying what Donald Trump did, nobody else would do. So he opens up a club that was open, I guess, to sodomites, apparently, and they were all praising him for it. And he's very proud of himself. An interviewer asks President Trump here, this is also, you can watch him say these things. Do you support marriage equality? You know what that means, sodomite marriage, right? President-elect Trump, it's irrelevant because it was already settled. It's law. It was settled in the Supreme Court. I mean, it's done. Interviewer asks, so even if you appoint a judge that, and then doesn't get to finish her question, President-elect Trump says, it's done. And you have these cases have gone to the Supreme Court. They have been settled, and I'm fine with that. I am fine with the Supreme Court's ruling on sodomite marriage. That's what your conservative Christian so-called president says. Here on Twitter, President Trump says, this is in June 14th, my birthday, 2016. I wasn't born in 2016, but the June 14th part. I have the best words, you know, kind of like President Trump. Huh? Thank you to the LGBT community. I will fight for you while Hillary brings in more people that will threaten your freedoms and beliefs. Thank you, LGBTQ queers. Here's another one. This is another Twitter quote from President Trump. This was May 31st, 2019, just a few months ago. Listen to this. He wasn't just saying it to get elected. Listen to this. As we celebrate LGBT Pride Month and recognize the outstanding contributions LGBT people have made to our great nation, let us also stand in solidarity with the many LGBT people who live in dozens of countries worldwide that punish, imprison, or even execute individuals on the basis of their sexual orientation. My administration has launched a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality and invite all nations to join us in this effort. He's spearheading the movement. I mean, it's not like he just tolerates it and doesn't really speak out against it. He doesn't say much. No, he is actively, avidly in favor of the sodomites. President Trump is a wicked man for supporting what God hates, period. And Christians are deplorable if they know these things and still say, that's my guy. That's horrible. That is horrible. President Trump is not pro-gun. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 22:36? He said, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus said in Luke 11:21 that when a strong man is armed, he keepeth his goods in peace. Let me get the exact quote here. Luke 11 and verse 21. Jesus taught the principle of self-defense. Luke 11 and verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. Jesus didn't say, no, he shouldn't do that, right? You don't ever resist violence or anything. Don't ever protect yourself with arms. He's stating a principle of fact, which is biblically correct. You protect yourself and your family with arms. President Trump has called for outlawing the sale of rifles to adults aged 18 to 20. I'm going to show you five things that he has done that are extremely anti-gun, that are very, very dangerous to our Second Amendment rights and just our natural God-given human rights to possess firearms to defend ourselves. First one is he wants to increase the age of buying all firearms, rifles included, to 21, outlawing it for 18 to 20-year-olds. He said this, you can see it on YouTube. It doesn't make sense that I have to wait till I'm 21 to get a handgun. But I can get this weapon at 18, you know, referring to an AR-15. And then he said on Twitter, I will be strongly pushing comprehensive background checks with an emphasis on mental health. Raise the age to 21 and end the sale of bump stocks. Congress is in a mood to finally do something on this issue, I hope. This is after one of the shootings. Every time a shooting happens, then he starts pushing more gun control. He's called for universal background checks for purchasing guns, which we just read there. Now, here's the funny thing. President Trump knows full well that background checks do not prevent criminals from getting guns, and yet he's calling for them anyway. Now, how do I know that he knows this full well? Because he wrote it in his own book that he wrote in 2015. Here's what he says in his own book called Great Again, How to Fix Our Crippled America. And I've got the quote there, hyperlink. You can go read that section right out of his own book on the internet. In Google Books, I think it is. He says, unfortunately, as expected, bringing more government regulation into the situation has accomplished very little. The main, quote, benefit, unquote, has been to make it difficult for a law-abiding American to buy a gun. As study after study has proven, few criminals are stupid enough to try to pass a background check or have their names in any kind of a system. So he said flat out, all it does is just keep law-abiding citizens from buying guns. Background checks don't work. But yet, here's what he says now. Here's what he said in 2018, February 22nd. You can see this on YouTube for yourself. We're going to do strong background checks. We're going to work on getting the age up to 21 instead of 18. We're getting rid of bump stocks. He said this on Twitter in February 20th, 2018. Whether we are Republican or Democrat, we must now focus on strengthening background checks. Yes, all background checks do is one more layer to prevent people from buying handguns. And then all they have to do is, in the background system, label you as a crazy person or as an extremist or as any number of things, and you can't buy a gun legally, right? Background checks are just the first step in gun confiscation. We talked about that in the sermon on gun control here earlier this year. President Trump said on Twitter, August 5th, 2019, just earlier this month, we cannot let those killed in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio die in vain. Likewise, for those so seriously wounded, we can never forget them and those many who came before them. Republicans and Democrats must come together and get strong background checks, perhaps marrying this legislation with desperately needed immigration reform. We must have something good, if not great, come out of these tragic events. And he said again on Twitter on August 9th of this year, serious discussions are taking place between House and Senate leadership on meaningful background checks. I have also been speaking to the NRA and others so that their very strong views can be fully represented and respected. Guns should not be placed in the hands of mentally ill or deranged people. I am the biggest Second Amendment person there is. Yeah, right. But we all must work together for the good and safety of our country. Common sense things can be done that are good for everyone. Benjamin Franklin said those that would exchange safety, those that would exchange essential liberty for safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Yeah, he loves the Second Amendment as he's trying to demolish it in five different ways. Here's another quote. This one is from an article on Politico called Poll, Most Republicans Support Assault Weapons Ban Despite Trump Saying No Appetite. It says, there is a, quote, there is a great appetite, and I mean a very strong appetite for background checks, and I think we can bring up background checks like we've never had before, Trump said. I think both Republicans and Democrats are getting close to a bill on to do something with background checks. And then here's a little tidbit for you. The FBI has recently said that they believe, or that if you believe in conspiracy theories, you are a domestic terrorist threat. This is from an article on Yahoo News called Exclusive FBI Document Warns Conspiracy Theories Are a New Domestic Terrorism Threat. This is from August 1st, 2019. Says, quote, the FBI for the first time has identified fringe conspiracy theories as a domestic terrorist threat, according to a previously unpublicized document obtained by Yahoo News. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to those who the government will determine who are mentally ill or deranged and will therefore not allow them to purchase a gun, right? It's all fitting in there together, because now if you believe in conspiracy theories, you're a domestic terrorist threat, which, you know what, there's a lot of people out there that believe in conspiracy theories. Right, many, many people out there. A lot of people have been turned on to 9/11. A lot of people don't believe in the government story about 9/11 anymore, and any number of things. And if you question 9/11, you're a domestic terrorist threat. And then you get put on a list, then you can't buy a gun, then you have your guns taken away with red flag laws, which we'll talk about here in just a second. Barack Obama could have never gotten away with the gun control that Trump is pushing. Trump signed a law outlawing bump stocks. Here's a quote here from a CNN article called "Trump Administration Officially Bans Bump Stocks," December 18th, 2018. The Trump administration rolled out a new federal regulation Tuesday officially banning bump stock or bump fire stocks. Those who possess the devices which make it easier to fire rounds from a semi-automatic weapon by harnessing the gun's recoil to bump the trigger faster will have 90 days to turn in or otherwise destroy them from the date that the final rule is published in the Federal Register, likely this Friday, according to senior DOJ officials. Here's what Trump said. He said in October, or Trump said, no, this is from the same article. Trump said in October he told the National Rifle Association that, quote, bump stocks are gone. Here's Trump himself on Twitter. He says, I will be strongly pushing comprehensive background checks with an emphasis on mental health, raise age to 21, and end sale of bump stocks. Congress is in a mood to finally do something on this issue, I hope. Here's another quote on Twitter. Very strong improvement in strengthening the background checks will be fully backed by White House legislation moving forward. Bump stocks will soon be out. Highly trained expert teachers will be allowed to conceal carry, subject to state law, armed guards, okay, deterrent. So bump stocks are out. What right does the President of the United States or the Congress have to ban bump stocks? Right? Just makes your rifle fire faster. But what right do they have to ban something like that? They don't. And then here's what President Trump said on March 23rd, 2018. Obama administration legalized bump stocks. Bad idea. As I promised, today the Department of Justice will issue the rule banning bump stocks with a mandated comment period. We will ban all devices that turn legal weapons into illegal machine guns. Then Trump has advocated publicly taking guns away from people without due process. There was the Florida shooter, and President Trump said in regards to that, he said, quote, you can see this on YouTube yourself. The police saw that he was a problem. They didn't take any guns away. Now that could have been policing. I think they should have taken them away anyway, whether they had the right or not. They should have just taken them, right? It doesn't matter if you, I mean, it doesn't matter if the guy's broken the law, it doesn't matter if you have a warrant, doesn't matter if you have a probable cause, just take them. You think somebody's guilty, just take them. That's what he's saying, just take the guns. He said, here's another one, you can watch it on YouTube. Take the firearms first and then go to court. That's backwards, Mr. Trump, right? You go to court first, you get a warrant first, right? You charge somebody with something first, you find them guilty first, then you take the guns, if they have indeed committed a crime with them. Here's in the same video, he says, I like taking the guns early. So you could do exactly what you're saying, but take the guns first, go through due process second. Let me tell you, it's not due process if you go through it after you violate somebody's rights. And then President Trump has also called for red flag gun laws, and these are probably the most dangerous thing of all. Red flag laws allow authorities to prevent a person from buying a gun or to take a person's guns based on a family member's or other's testimony claiming that the person is a danger to himself or others before the person's actually committed a crime. So if you had somebody that just doesn't like you for some reason, you got a neighbor, maybe you've had a spat with them over something silly, and the neighbor calls up the police and says, hey, this guy's crazy. You know, I can tell he's nuts. Right, you ought to see how the way he acts. And all of a sudden, one night, your door gets kicked in. And they come in and they take your guns because you're under a red flag law now. Could happen. This is President Trump himself just this month, August 5th, 2019. He says, we must make sure that those judged who pose a grave risk to public safety do not have access to firearms, and that if they do, those firearms can be taken through rapid due process. That is why I have called for red flag laws, also known as extreme risk protection orders. Red flag laws are a very dangerous assault on our God-given rights to possess firearms to protect ourselves and our families. Because, of course, if they were really used against insane people in a perfect world, okay, fine, right? You could make an argument for it. I still would be opposed to it. I'd still say you go through the proper channels. But here's what happens. It doesn't get applied, or it could go way beyond that and be used against political enemies, or used against Christians, or used against people that are against the party that's in charge, or whatever, any number of people, minorities, like Hitler took the guns of the Jews, right, before before World War II. This is what happens. We're going down a terrible, frightening path here, and our president is pushing for it. A Democrat, like I said, could have never gotten away with this assault on our gun rights that President Trump has. And I'd say that Christians and conservatives who support President Trump, that know these things, ought to be ashamed of themselves, because he is opposed to everything they supposedly stand for. Guns and gays and abortion, right? Isn't that the big things with most conservatives and Republicans and Christians and so on? And he's horrible on all of them. It's really something. So next time we'll pick up where we left off here. We're going to look at how President Trump is not fiscally conservative, if you can believe that one.